Are you excited to be in church today? Aren't you excited to be the church? Amen. Me two. Me three. Me four. Me five. Me six. Me all. Amen. Well, we're going to go on a journey today. It's called the Journey of Faith. The Journey of Faith. Are you ready to go with me? Good. Let me wet my whistle, as my dad always said, wet your whistle. So you can whistle. Well, Father, this morning we come before you with grateful hearts, thanksgiving hearts, hearts of praise to give you honor and glory today for you and who you are. Lord, thank you for loving us. Lord, I pray, I ask that your word would be rich and full to the hearts of your people. To hear, to receive, I pray, open hearts, open minds, to receive today what you have. Bless your children now as they open their hearts and minds to the Holy Spirit to receive. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. Praise God. Well, we had quite an interesting week. Busy. We went to Christians United for Israel. Then we went to a few Bible Museum, Holocaust Museum. And then we went to Arlington. The grave of JFK and then Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And the changing of the guard. Really awesome. Really awesome. But anyway, in all that, we're back. Hallelujah. We're back. And we're back running. Because I looked at my calendar for this week and I thought, how in the world did I do that? Filled up every day just about. So, okay, faith. What happens in our lives is that we try to achieve what only God is capable of doing in our lives, and it's impossible to be a super Christian. Hear me. It's impossible. Which is what we are trying to be. So many of us are trying to be super Christian. I should give them a shirt. Super Christian. Good Lord. Next thing you know, they fall flat on their face and going, what happened? Well, so God gave his son to be the deliverer, the healer, and the savior. Only Jesus is all that. As Christians, we need to learn how to connect and flow with God, the Holy Spirit, instead of work at being a Christian and doing for God and let God do for us. All right. Pastor, explain that to me. Yes, sir. Here's sometimes we're doing things for God, and that's good, as long as he has directed us to do it. Where we get into trouble is when we go, I'm going to go do this for God. And when I do it, I'm going to say, okay, God, now bless what I'm going to do for you. You know, for you. You know, bless what I'm going to do for you. Get you down the south. All right? Well, as soon as you do something and say, I'm doing this for God. Hallelujah. And he hasn't called me to do it. check around and look behind you. Because if he's not there, you better keep on going and start looking for him. Because you're about to fall. And you're about to fall a great fall. Yeah. And it's dangerous. Dangerous. There's been many that have been called to the mission field. Get to the mission field way ahead of God. And the next thing you know, I can't understand what happened. I know God called. Yeah, he called you. But he didn't say, go. So be careful. Boy, of that, there's a lot of that that's happened. You know. So listen to this. A works-oriented Christ follower is a discouraged follower because you're trying to achieve greatness in your Christian walk and work hard at it, reading, memorizing the Word, doing good deeds with hopes that it will please the Lord. And you will have great favor in your life and be full of blessings because I've worked hard at this. I've worked so hard to be a good Christian. And then you're discouraged because you don't understand why nothing's happening. Well, let me tell you this. First of all, you got the horse before the cart before the horse. If you have the horse before the cart, you're good. You got the cart before the horse. God's behind you, not in front of you. If God isn't in front of you, you're going to fail. If God isn't calling you, you're going to fail. You say, but Pastor, God calls us to do things. Yes, he does. But he calls you out of his relationship with you. Rocket science, right? If this relationship ain't working, everything else is going to fail. Everything else is going to fail. It's going to be like, boom. A balloon that's all blown up and somebody puts a pin in it. And where it goes? Empty. Empty. And you know what? Funny thing is, once the pin goes in that balloon, you can't blow it back up. You ever try to patch a balloon? Doesn't work. It's like patching a pool. Good Lord. We won't go down that road. I finally got the third patch to work. And I'm praying it stays the rest of the year because I don't care about the rest. So listen, when Abraham left the country of his father, he went without any knowledge, listen to this, of where he was going outside of the voice of God. Hear that. The voice of God telling him to leave his country and get away from a lifestyle of idol worshipers. Idol worshipers. People who worship everything but God. That was his family. That was his father's house. And think about it. How many have you made? How many idols have you made? Just think about it. I almost said it. Sometimes God is speaking to us to leave the place that people are serving themselves and don't know the very Savior you and I serve. Sometimes you're in a place that you shouldn't be, that God hasn't called you to, but it's comfortable. You like it. You like what it is. You like what you're doing. But God, inside, you know something just ain't right. Because it's not working. What I'm doing is not working. But we think that it's our job to win them over to Jesus, when in fact, that never happens. It never happens. I know you've heard me tell you this story before. I was at work, and everybody knew me. Of course they did. I was the crazy Christian. The crazy Christian, right? I wasn't that crazy. I just read my Bible, and I talked to them about, hey, you know Jesus? Rich, you're a crazy man. You make me nervous, Rich. I'm sorry. Why am I making you nervous? But this one night, and I consider him a friend. We started together and we worked at the plant together. And he said, sarcastically, he was tempting me. He goes, hey, Rich! We're going out after work. We're going to get some beers, Rich. We're going to get some beers. I said, okay. He goes, what do you mean, okay? You can't do that. Rich, you can't do that. I said, why not? Rich! This guy's not saved, unbeliever. I said, why not? Why can't I go have some beers with you? He goes, because you're a Christian. You're a believer. Uh-huh. You don't do that stuff, right? I was just sucking him in. Sucking him in. Come on. I got the hook now. Come on. Come on. I said, you know why I don't? I said, my friend, I don't do that because I don't want you to go to hell. Oh, don't say that. Gee, don't say that. Yeah, it's true. I said, I stay away from that so that you can follow my example. My example. And I had another time. It's funny. I was camping. Camping. Right? With friends. And he said, all day long they had been drinking. And we got there late. And that was okay. So I get there. Same thing happens. He goes, this friend of mine says, Rich, come on. You got to talk to this guy because he doesn't believe me. I said, okay, sure. And he says, so, Rich, why don't you drink? Huh? I said, because I want you to know my Jesus. He says, oh. How would you like to know him? You see, I'm not criticizing anybody that has a beer or has a glass of wine. I'm telling you, the day I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, mind you, took the glass of wine and turned it sour. And it was good stuff. It was awesome stuff. I used to drink it all the time. All the time. And when the Holy Spirit did that, he said, you'll never need another drink the rest of your life. Now listen, I used to drink. Talk about getting drunk in the Holy Ghost. I used to get drunk in the world. Not proud of it, but that was the life. Not proud of it, but I knew Jesus. Now I know him. And there is nothing And when I said that this wine is terrible, they came over and tasted it and said, "You are nuts." Hallelujah, I'm nuts. Thank you, Jesus. I like being nuts. I like it. I like it. I will go to heaven being nuts. Amen. Whether anybody else likes it or not, I'm okay with it. So, anyway, why did I go there? Anyway, I'll tell you why. It's because unless we leave or they leave their environment and come to the knowledge of who Jesus is, they will remain in the same state that they have always been in their lives. People will not change if they don't know what. See, we're supposed to be salt and light. Salt and light. And if our light isn't shining and we're there and there isn't a question about why you're there, there's something wrong. The light is very dim and the salt isn't sprinkling on them. The salt isn't touching them. What's touching them is you. And there are many lessons in Scripture, and we have to be alert to see and not choose our opinions over what God says, because we may be disappointed in the end results. In Hebrews chapter 11, we got that. Hebrews 11 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible." So God created it out of nothing and created something. "By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, and God testifying about his gifts. And through through faith, he is dead, he still speaks. So by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God." He pleased God. Why? Because he believed him. He saw him. And then Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, For ground that drinks the rain, which often falls on it, and brings forth vegetation useful to those who seek it, is tilled and receives a blessing from God. What does that mean? What you do in tilling your life through the word of God is like stirring up the ground in your life. And when you stir the ground up in your life, you begin to produce fruit. You begin to produce good fruit, godly fruit. And without the godly fruit being produced in our lives, you can't receive. There's no blessing. You know what I'm saying? There's no blessing. But people say, "Well, but God blesses everybody." Uh-huh, to a degree. Everybody receives a blessing to a degree. Because the rain falls where? On the just and the unjust. So the rain still falls. But with God in your life, there's a greater blessing. There's a greater blessing that you cannot contain that will fill you up and overflowing. Matthew 11, 20 through 24 says this, if we can get there. Then he began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not repent. Repentance is the key to our lives. Repentance. The only reason depression comes, the only reason, is because the Word of God isn't strong enough in our lives. Depression will come. Discouragement will come. Don't look to any individual or any person to fulfill your needs. The only one that can fill our needs is God. The greatest blessing, and we got a marriage class coming up, the greatest blessing in a marriage is when God is first.
Amen.
When God is first, both are blessed. Both are blessed. So, Jesus says to them, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. He's talking to the Pharisees. For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, Sodom and Gomorrah, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Why? Why would they have done that? If you read Sodom and Gomorrah, it was horrible. But God. Amen? And God didn't like it. He destroyed the whole city. Boy, are we living in grace or what? Can you imagine? Can you imagine how many cities would be destroyed today? Destroyed. I mean, New York City, boop. California, boop. States, gone. Whole countries, gone. Whole lifestyles, gone. Why? Why? But grace. Mark 11, 20, 26. Oh, I got to go back. I got a whole bunch of stuff I just missed. Can I go back to Hebrews 11? Verse 9. The promise. The promise. You see, it says that by faith, I wanted to bring this together. I got so excited about reading, I forgot to put it all together. Not good hermeneutics, by the way. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and their fellow heirs. Now I want to bring this up to you. In the Greek, the word heirs, not hairs, heirs of promise. The Greek word for heirs is sukerlermos. Yeah, that's okay. I'll break it down. The soon part is with, kalero is a lot, and neomamai is to possess. So what it really means is the heirs of promises means that they were not just the heirs, but they had a lot. They had a lot that belonged to them. And they possessed it. Now listen, we are heirs of the Lord Jesus Christ, full of promise. So this Greek word applies to you and I as the body of Christ, the church. We are with a lot of promise. Hear that. We are with a lot of promise for our lives now. It's ours. It belongs to us. So, where Abraham dwelt, he was, listen, joint heirs with his sons and those who were with him, and they all possessed the land together. And it's still theirs today. The land. Hello? The land. Where you walk belongs to you. Where, you'll get this maybe, where you walk, you are heirs of promise. Born again in the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem is we don't believe it. Yes, we don't possess it. Exactly. We give it away. We let someone else possess it. And why do we do that? Because we don't believe it. We don't believe it. We think, I love this part. You know, I can't afford that. Really? Let me see. I just walked out this land. I just walked out this land. God says, it's mine. Because I put my feet to it. I walk the land. Now, you can walk it and be very complacent. Or you can walk it in a boldness and say, Father, you have given this to me. So I'm taking it. I'm no longer going to let the enemy have it. I'm no longer going to let the enemy have it. It belongs to me. Now you say, here's going on in your head. Yeah, maybe that works for you, Pastor, but it doesn't work for me. I don't see that working. I don't see it working. Really? The problem is not God. The problem is you. The problem is you only see with your natural eyes and quick looking in. Dang, you got to look into the supernatural. You're not going to see it in the natural. Look in the supernatural, say, God has given this to me, not man. Not man. Man couldn't have given it to you anyway. You tell me this. How can a gentleman, this guy, in 1968 or 70, come to the United States from Indonesia and he's got 50 cents in his pocket? How's that possible? When he has to get on a ship with 50 cents that has to go to another island to get a plane. Why? How? Who? How can that happen? Huh? How? Because he hears the voice of God. Just like Abraham heard the voice of God. And he said, when you get to the boat, someone will pay for the ticket. He gets to the boat. Guy comes up to him. Are you? Yeah. Come on. Gets on the boat. Goes to the other island. Gets up to the ticket counter to get a ticket. And says, I am so-and-so. I'm not telling the name yet. I'll tell you in the end. Gets to the counter and he goes, I am. And they go, got your ticket right here for you. Because someone in America paid for the ticket. Didn't know him. Did not know him. But heard God say, send this money to this island at this airport for this man. You still don't believe me. I know it. You're sitting there going, no, no. God does that for some people, but he won't do that for me. Yeah, right. Talking a lot today. So, he gets on a plane. And guess what he still has in his pocket? 50 cents. 50 cents is still in his pocket. He hasn't had to spend a dime of that 50 cents. So he's still got 50 cents. With the hopes that coming to America would be a great country because they have Christianity. And he come from a place that was full of evil, demonic. And he gets off the plane and he goes, oh my, my, America is more evil than where I came from. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Because they had all the books, all the magazines of evil. Yeah. And he said, America needs to get saved. America needs to get saved. The name? Maltari. The Mighty Wind, Gentle Breeze of Jesus. Two books. Look them up, if you can. I think I met him in the 70s. But anyway, Mark Bowling did. Okay, so in Hebrews 6 and verse 7, I'm going back again. It talks about the earth receiving the blessings of God. If we're to receive from God, who owns everything, we are receiving ownership of the right of possession to the blessings in our lives. The right of ownership. You and I have the right of ownership. You know, so many times we miss God because we're trying to figure God out in our job. We're trying to figure, okay, this is what he really wants me to do. And he's always saying, I got a plan. Your plan's not working. I got a better plan. Ask me. But see, we're comfortable in certain things in the job that we have. We are. We're comfortable in certain things. And God says, get out of your comfort zone. Listen to me. Spend time with me and I'll show you. Okay. In Greek, in Matthew 11, chapter 20 through 24, there's a lesson of the fig tree on faith. I want you to hear this. See, Matthew. Yeah. Then he began to denounce the cities which, you know, and we read that, because they did not repent. And he gets after them. Would you go to 22, Craig? He says, nevertheless, I say to you, it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. 23. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? Why is he asking a question? What are they doing that's keeping them from heaven? You will descend to Hades. What? What? For if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. That's scary. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the judgment, in the day of judgment, than for you. Whoa. That is scary. The Greek word here for faith is pisteos, or pistis. Having conviction, confidence, trust, belief, reliance, trustworthiness, and persuasion. Without faith, you and I cannot believe God. It takes trust. It takes a conviction in our hearts. And you have to do this every day. Every moment. Every moment of every day. Persistence. 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 Why? It's the only thing that God tells us to be persistent with. Not memorization. Not reading through your Bible. Faith. Faith. Because faith and persistence is the conviction in our hearts of who God is. It's trusting Him and having full confidence in what He says is true. Most of us don't have full confidence. Most of us have a little confidence in God. Most of us, we do. We do. We say we got, yes, I trust God. We say it with our mouth. But our actions don't prove it. Because people go by sight. They're looking at you and I. Oh, you say you know Him. How do you know Him? You don't have to say a word. They know that you know Him by your actions. What are my actions? The fruit of my life. The fruit that is performed and conformed in my life. The way I speak, the way I act. Galatians 5:22. All this, we're talking about faith, is the inward principle of a living faith, having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that allows us to walk in the fullness of all that God has for us and for our lives. And then the outflow of the Holy Spirit touches the lives of people that we come in contact with. See, if the inflow, if God is flowing in and you've got that personal relationship with Him, you've got the fire of heaven coming in. Wherever you go, that goes out. That goes out. You need the fire of heaven, the Holy Spirit in your life for the outflow. Otherwise,
the mouth stays silent. I don't say a thing about nothing. I don't say a thing about nothing. My mouth is closed because, oh.
That's what happens. You're talking out of two sides of your mouth. People know. People know. They watch you. Okay. Oh, I got to kind of wrap this up. But I got more pages to go. All right. Faith, listen to this. Faith is the catalyst that drives Christianity to fulfill all that Jesus desires in us. to fulfill His destiny in our lives. I'm going to say it again. Faith is the catalyst that drives Christianity to fulfill. Let me say it this way. That drives the Christian to fulfill all that Jesus desires in us to fulfill His destiny in us. God has a destiny for you. He has a purpose for you. No matter how old you are, He's got a destiny and a purpose. Get the relationship. The relationship is the first, it's the key to everything in Christianity. Relationship, relationship. How do I get that right here? I get it through reading the Word and talking, communicating with Him. And then He will talk to you clearly, clearly. Mm-hmm. And it won't be out of your emotions because you'll shut them down. You say, emotions, get with life. Emotions, I'm waiting on God to speak to me. I'm not listening to my ideas, my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions. You say, but Pastor, God created us to have emotions and feelings. Exactly. But He wants you to have them in control so that He can use your emotions and use your feelings for His glory,
amen.
Not yours. Faith is the very force that compels us to continue to desire to follow Christ and walk in His love. It's that compelling force in our lives. It compels us. It drives us. It makes you say, I'm not done. I'm not quitting. God said, I have to do this. God said, this is my plan for you. I need to walk out His plan. Not mine. My Lord. Boy, when you walk out His plan, it's amazing. Really amazing. Sometimes I wished and desired that I was doing this instead of being in the factory for 34 years. But you know what? Being in the factory had an impact on a lot of people's lives. And God had a plan and purpose. And why I was there for 34 years. And then during that period of time, I helped another pastor grow his ministry, the ministry God gave to him. That was the call. That was the purpose. Even though I knew this was my call. But God says, help. I helped. And when I got done, God said, okay, now it's your turn. You're done. You're done. Now it's your turn. Go and do what I want you to do. Don't ever look at the small things that God is using you for. Always worship Him. Always honor Him. Pray, seek, and you'll find. Pray, seek, and you'll find. He'll give it to you. Folks, He has greater plans for your life than what you're doing right now. Man, you think this is the ultimate. It is not. Good Lord. If that 34 years in the factory was the ultimate, I missed it. Because this is the ultimate. I'll tell you. And I ain't even done yet. I just got started. And I'm not doing what I'm doing to gain glory or gain a point in heaven. I didn't start it. He did. He'll finish what He starts. All I did is go, okay, I'll go. Yes, sir. All right. I am not going to get through this. In Mark 11, 20, 26, Mark 11, 20, 26, Jesus gives us an example of faith. As they were passing by in the morning, remember Jesus cursed the fig tree? They saw the fig tree withering from its roots up. Whoa, whoa. The fig tree, and then, let's keep going. Being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, O teacher, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered, saying to them, simply have faith in God. He wasn't looking at the fig tree. He was looking at their faith. Where's your faith today? Down in the valley? Down in the valley. Valley so low. Can't find it. Where's your faith? On your sleeve? Maybe if I put the jacket on, my faith will grow before it snows. Listen. Here, listen. Here, Jesus takes this very word of faith and it's called action. Faith is also an action word. You must act on what God tells you. Because it's not believing in what you're saying. It's believing in God, in what God is speaking to you, and having total trust in God to do what He says that He will do. And when you are willing to speak, when the Holy Spirit gives you the unction to act. Boy, does that help. That help? Yeah, help. Okay. One more, and then I'm going to try and get away. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. This is interesting. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, you're an alien, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. How much?
Fullest.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not a dying hope, a living hope from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God. Listen to that. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Our salvation is not finished until we go in the grave and are raised up. Until we go to heaven. Our salvation finished. Why? You don't need it anymore. You're there. Hallelujah. You made it. You graduated. Don't you want to be a graduate? Graduate? Hmm? I like graduate. That's good. So, what is this all saying? It's expressing how the power of God keeps us. This word in the Greek is a military word for a sentry. A sentry standing guard as protection against the enemy. We are in spiritual combat But God's power and peace are our sentinels and protectors. What Philippians 4:7 says is this: and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Romans 12:1-2. We're not going there. Read it. Romans 12:1-2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you're conformed to the world, you're not conformed to Him. You're in the world, but you're not of it. Don't be a part of it. Don't partake. Cause them to partake with you. That's what I did for 34 years. Cause them to partake with me in the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. How did they partake? By my example. See, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Don't follow me if I'm not following Christ. Ooh. Boy, that's a slap in the face, isn't it? He says, follow me as I'm following Christ. If you don't see Christ in me, don't follow. That's pretty strong. That's pretty strong. Wherever you go, people should be able to say, that's a Christian. I've watched them. And see, people are watching you. You live in a glass house whether you like it or not. You are in glass. And they're throwing stones at the glass. And it'll break one now and again. But don't worry. Don't worry. It can't hurt you. It can't hurt you. Why? Because you're guarded and protected by the Holy Spirit. Amen? You'll get it. All right. I got to conclude. I got to go. Say goodbye. Say goodbye, Rich. Okay. I wrote this. Faith is not our ability. It is God's ability in us, working through us. It is our measure of faith connecting to a greater faith to accomplish what God has for us. And it is the unseen that then becomes seen, and sometimes it is not for the present day. It is faith for what God will do in the future in our lives. And He reveals to us, as He revealed the promise to Abraham to be the father of many nations. Patience. It's one of the greatest virtues you'll ever learn. One of the greatest. And it'll draw you. And it will stretch you. It will conform you. And you'll get ugly about it and say, because you think you have, the day you think you have patience is the day that you your patience will let go. You think you're patient? Wait a minute. You think you got a handle on everything? Just wait a minute. If you can trust God, just trust Him. Let His patience be in you that holds you like a steady tree, an oak, with its roots buried deep. You won't be moved. No matter what wind, no matter what storm, you won't be moved. Stay connected to the very vine that can sustain us. He's the only one. He's the only one that defeated Satan. Be patient. Be patient. And don't worry. Your loved ones are guaranteed. God has got a hook in their mouth unlike any hook you've ever seen. Because you can guard over them in your prayers and draw them to Him. Not you. He will do it. He will do it. How it happens, it's up to Him. Not up to you. Never been up to you. You wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for Him, you and I wouldn't be here. He calls, He equips. Amen. Well, let's pray. I send you home. Bless you. Thank you. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. You go, no. Oh, my mama. Gotta love your mama, you know. Father, I pray that every word that I spoke, Holy Spirit, that it was You, that You use it and speak to the hearts of Your children. Bless them, bring increase in their lives. Watch over them, keep them. Wherever they go, the atmosphere in that place must change and transform because they go with the Word of God hid in their hearts so that, Lord, when they speak Your words of life and wisdom. So, Father, I thank You that the gospel of peace is shot upon their feet. So wherever they go, they bring peace, they bring a joy, and they bring a comfort. Watch over them now, Father. Bless them. Let Your loving eyes shine upon them. Bring them peace in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.